Welcome to the Killgen Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dunbar. Stay tuned for the CPD code, which will be revealed within the episode. In this one, I'm chatting to Melvin Knapp, the Killgen Technical Manager for the South, and we'll be chatting all about Mice of Great Britain. Let's get to it. Melvin, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You're good?
Yeah, all good over here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and jumping on the podcast. And it's one I've been looking forward to because it's a little bit nerdy, and we're going to talk all about, you know, the rodent side of things, which is the the very exciting part of what we do in our day to day. So yeah, before we get started, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of say hi to the listeners, introduce yourselves. So some of you might already know your face and your voice very well from some of the training courses or industry events, but yeah, over to you.
Yeah, so hi everyone, my name's Melvin, and I'm also one of the nerdy technical people from Killgen Chemicals. I'm the technical manager for the South, so primarily my role is to run training courses. But I also carry out site inspections, so field biologist inspections, do troubleshoot visits. So I kind of think of myself as a bit like Winston Wolf from Pulp Fiction. If you've got a problem, you know, call the wolf. If you give me a coffee, lots of sugar, lots of cream, and I might just be able to help solve that mouse problem or that bed bug issue or that fly problem. So yeah, you know, it's part of what we do at Killgen. We're here to support people, you know. And I enjoy doing that. I get a nice bit of variety. But I was a pest control technician for a number of years. I worked for a company based in the south of England, and ended up being a field biologist doing technical inspections and audits in primarily the food manufacturing sector. So I've got a bit of a varied background on the servicing side and also now on the training side.
Yeah, amazing. All the lovely stuff, putting all that practical experience to good use over the years now. That's great. So today's all about Mice of Great Britain, which I believe this is sort of based on a brilliant talk that you've put together and presented it at a few sort of industry events, and I believe it got turned into a pest control news magazine article at one point as well. So we'll signpost you to those if you guys want to have a closer read of what we're going to talk about today. So yeah, all about rodents. So in a true Killgen style, we're going to start right at the basics, right? So what makes a rodent? What makes rodents such a prolific group of animals that have been causing us problems for years with regards to pest control?
Yeah, well, obviously rodents are the biggest group of mammals in the world. So they make up about 40% of the mammal species. Last time I read, I think there were 2,227 species of rodents in the world. So they're a very big, significant, diverse group of mammals. And what their characteristics, well, they're characterized by is their continuously growing incisors. Mm-hmm. So their incisor teeth are open-rooted, which means that they continuously grow throughout the life of the rodent.
Right.
And that enables them to have this continuous gnawing behavior. If they gnawed and actually didn't have continuously growing incisors, their incisors would wear down so much and they'd become non-functioning, right? They wouldn't have any incisors left. So they have to continuously grow, and therefore they have to continuously gnaw. So obviously they can cause a significant amount of damage in that process. And if they don't wear those teeth down, they spiral inward. There's actually an angle for itself. I think it's 86 degrees, angle that'll spiral inward. Right. And that will actually restrict their ability to feed, and they'll ultimately starve and have all sorts of problems. So they have to continuously gnaw with those inside the teeth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of the primary weapon, isn't it? Make sure that it's in a good nick. I'm sure I've been in one of your training courses where you've mentioned the full metal jacket analogy, right? This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine, right? So this is definitely the case for rodents' teeth for them, right?
Yeah. I always kind of think of it like, you know, pest controller and his or her torch. You know, your torch is so important in pest control, right? You know,
that's right.
And,
yeah,
and that's where I think of that film Full Metal Jacket. You know, where Private Pyle's got his rifle, but with us we've got our torch, right? You know,
that's right.
it's the same thing.
Absolutely. No, fantastic. So, so those continuously growing incisors, as you've mentioned, you know, they have capacity. Obviously, they serve a massive purpose for rodents, but they cause us quite a lot of issues, don't they? All this sort of damage to structures, buildings, all that side of things, right? But it's a specific group of mammals that's usually a concern for us. It's sort of what we call commensal rodents. Sorry, tell us a little bit more. What is a commensal rodent?
Yeah, so commensal, it literally means feeding from man's table. Mensa is the Greek word for table. Right. So thousands of years ago, particularly where kind of the mice originated from, around Mesopotamia, which is kind of modern day Iraq, around that sort of region of the world.
Right.
That's where mankind first developed arable farming. And these rodents basically adapted their behavior to feed off of our stored grain, our stored food. Once we stopped being hunter gatherers and kind of went to a more kind of farming culture all those thousands of years ago. And of course, as we've traded and traveled throughout the world, they've traveled alongside us, right? They spread throughout the world, and rats and mice are found in every continent throughout the globe except one, and that's Antarctica. So if you want to expand your pest control business, probably not the best place to go is, you know, Antarctica is probably not the best place to be.
definitely not. No, that's brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Melvin. So obviously we know a little bit of background about rodents now. Obviously most of the listeners, all of us will have kind of realized that or understood this at throughout our pest control career. So let's have a sort of delve into the actual species we're going to discuss. So what species are we going to chat about today?
Right, so we're going to look at the more common ones we find in Great Britain. Well, I mean, obviously England, Wales, Scotland. And now, in my day, when I started as a pest control technician, right, many technicians would just write on their report mouse activity or mouse activity found at bait numbers 3, 4, 5 or external mouse activity found, right? And actually, even back then, I never thought that was right. I thought as professionals, we should be specific about what we find and more factual. But it's even more important now, right? The days of just saying it's a mouse in pest control are long gone. We can't do
definitely
that.
Definitely, yeah.
We need to acknowledge that, you know, on mice such as wood mice are important. They do belong outdoors. They do belong, they do have a place. And what crew has, been with the benefits of crew is that it's made people realize and think about the actual target species we're dealing with now. And of course, rodenticide labels specify whether it's Apodemus or Mus musculus. And if the labels are being specific, then we need to be specific about what we find, right?
Absolutely.
So we need to be able to identify which rodent is important. So we're going to be looking at, obviously, the house mice, but also the wood mice. And we'll look at a couple of others as well, some that we just perhaps need to be aware of. We're not going to see particularly very often in pest control, such as the harvest mouse or the hazel dormouse. But yeah, it's basically going to be the wood mice and the house mice.
Brilliant. So obviously we can get started with the main sort of identifying features. I think most of the listeners will have seen the house mouse, Mus musculus, or Mus musculus domesticus, whichever way you're inclined. So what physical differences do wood mice have compared to sort of house mice?
Okay. So things that we can see, you know, if we actually find one, is obviously the wood mouse is generally slightly larger. It's got that chestnutty brown fur. Very large prominent ears and the black beady bulging eyes as well. And the hind legs tend to be a bit larger as well. They have a very pale flank, to a very whitish belly and a small kind of yellowish patch on the top of the chest, which is quite indicative of them as well. But the thing that really is the key identifying feature is actually in their dental structure. The way that we classify different species of rodents is through their jaws and their dental structures. So if you've got a mouse where the incisor teeth has a notch, okay, across the tip of the incisor, that will be a house mouse. All right, so if there's a notch in the incisor tooth, it will be a house mouse. If it's a mouse incisor tooth that's chisel-like, more like a rat, so it's more like a kind of carpenter's chisel, it will be a wood mouse. So there's no notch in their incisor. So even if that mouse is decomposed, we've just got skeletal remains, it's been on a trap for a while, we can still identify that mouse by having that knowledge and looking at those little features. Even if the incisor teeth are absent, you can look at the first molar in the jaw. And if there are three roots on the molar, it will be a house mouse.
Mm-hmm.
If there are four roots in the molar, it will be a wood mouse, Apodemus species. If the molar's missing, you can still look at that because you look at the holes that would be in the jaw. So the sockets, if you like, for those roots. So if there's three holes where the first molar would be, house mouse, four holes, wood mouse. So, you know, that's how we would properly identify it. And if you find like the owl pellets, so the pellets that are regurgitated by birds of prey, and you pull those little pellets apart, you'll often find those skeletal remains of those small mammals, right?
Yeah.
And you will often find, you know, a molar tooth or an incisor tooth or a piece of skull from a wood mouse, and you can tell it's a wood mouse by looking at those features.
That's fantastic, because it's such an important part of, you know, being able to identify the species that we're looking at, because, you know, depending on the time of year and what the diet requirements might be for a wood mouse being out and about, you know, their droppings can look very, very similar to those of a house mouse. So we have to look out for those different distinguishing features, don't we? Is there anything else that distinguishes wood mice compared to house mice?
I think their behavior as well. So where we're likely to find them. I mean, if you're going to get mice outdoors, it's typically going to be Apodemus, right?
Wood mice.
If you're in the center of London, then less
very
so.
Different.
That's not to say that you don't get wood mice in London, because you absolutely do, right?
Of course.
You know, Green Park, you know, the bushy areas around Green Park, you'll get wood mice. Just because you're in a city, don't just automatically assume it's house mice, because it might not be, right?
Definitely.
But yeah, if you've got mice that have been established within the fabric of a building in significant numbers, you know, it's going to be mice of the house, which is what Mus domesticus means, or Mus musculus domesticus means. Yeah, it'll be the Western European house mouse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in perhaps a more this detached property, it's just the odd mouse that's gone into a property.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, you know, if you get into perhaps a more suburban or say more rural location, you know, you've got to consider that, hang on, it could well be wood mice we're dealing with here, not house mice. Don't just automatically assume that, oh, the mouse that we've got in the property is inside the house, so it's got to be a house mouse.
Definitely.
They don't change their identity, unfortunately, when they, you know, when they cross that threshold.
No, that's it.
So, you know, we've got to know what to look for. I think a few other little field signs we can look at are the droppings. It is quite difficult to see the difference between house mouse droppings and wood mouse droppings. But once you've got used to looking at them, you can often find that they're slightly larger and a bit more rounded in shape, maybe a bit more oval in shape. And that will often be, you know, wood mice. So that's a good sign as well.
Brilliant. So, with regards to the feeding behavior, is there something that sort of wood mice tend to do more than house mice?
Yeah. So one of the things that you'll often find is you open a bait box, and you'll find debris that's in that box, right? So it might be stones, nuts, bolts. I know one pest controller told me a story where they found a customer's wedding ring inside a mouse box in a lost place. and your customer said, oh, that's my wedding ring. I lost that 4 years ago. But it's this caching behavior that we get from wood mice. So they cache food or cache their food. And that's where they cover the bait, all right, to hide it away from competitors for another day, right? They're storing it for another day. So if you see leaves or all sorts of loft insulation, things like that, dragged into boxes or covering the bait, that is indicative behavior of wood mice.
Fantastic. So that's definitely what there's a lovely list of sort of ironclad stuff that you can definitely look at and add to your sort of arsenal as you're walking around. Just a quick interruption to give you the all important CPD code for this episode. This month's code is mischief-cpd-526. That's mischief-cpd-526. Now back to the podcast. So yeah, wood mice, obviously Apodema sylvaticus is the scientific name, but I do believe there's another sort of, we can call it a cousin of Apodema sylvaticus, that tends to pose a few problems to some pest controllers working down south.
So Apodema sylvaticus, right, is, you know, Apodemus, right, means a mouse, which dwells away from the home. Okay, so apod, meaning to walk away from or be away from, mus, the house, so away from the house, sylvaticus, meaning to dwell within the wood, right? So it's a mouse which we find in wooded areas. We also come across Apodemus flava coli. Coli comes from the Greek word neck. It's where the word collar comes from, right? On neck. Yeah. Flava, you might remember that, you know, Lasius flavus is the yellow meadow ant, all right? So flava coli means a yellow neck. So this is the yellow-necked wood mouse. It can grow quite a large size. It can grow up to 6 inches in length from nose to tail.
Yeah.
And I've known some pest controllers mistake it for a rat sometimes because of the large size, which can be quite misleading. But you have this very indicative kind of yellow chevron under its neck or onto its neck. Kind of goes down from the neck onto the chest. So you get this big yellow collar around its neck. Now, other than that, it's hard to size the yellow collar. It is a bit more kind of chestnutty, I'd say, in its appearance, and the differentiation between the chestnutty brown fur and the white flank underneath is probably a bit more defined on the yellow neck wood mouse. But where we find it, you find it around like the base of trees, you know, around on the tree trunks. It's not very often you find it in buildings, but I have known a few cases where it has come into a property or a pest control has trapped one. I've certainly come across the odd one, but very, very common. Certainly down my area, down in Hampshire, incredibly common. Sussex, Wiltshire, Dorset, Kent, you know, all along the, particularly the southeast of the country, they're very, very common indeed. And their droppings are a bit more distinctive. They're much larger, and they're much more round in shape as well. I remember opening up external bait boxes to find huge piles of these really unusual droppings inside the bait box, and actually it's Apodemus flava coli that bit.
What's going on here? Very interesting. So obviously, you know, it's going to be the case, it's something we have to kind of get used to, I guess, as pest controllers. The natural habitats of those mice are shrinking, right? You know, every bit of greenery is being turned into a car park, block of flats, whatever it may be, a supermarket. Those mice are displaced. They have to go somewhere. So those entrances into properties, you know, can definitely become a more frequent thing. And they are becoming a frequent thing. We're observing it as it happens. So why would it be so important? Obviously, those mice, in terms of appearance, are fairly similar, apart from a few distinguishing features. It's very easy to mistake Apodemus flava coli for Apodemus sylvaticus. Why would it be so important for a pest controller to ensure that we get that distinction right?
Well, there are very, very few rodenticide products now that are authorized for, you know, wood mice, you know, Apodemus sylvaticus. Obviously, there's one with Codicalciferol in at the moment that does have that authorization. It will say field mice, which, you know, comes from the old English name, the long-tailed field mouse, which is it's a bit of a tomato-tomato thing. You know, I've definitely always called it wood mouse because it's kind of true to its name.
Definitely.
Yeah, Apodema silvacus. If you're baiting with that product and you're inadvertently baiting with that product authorized for Apodema sylvaticus, but actually, you know, we end up treating Apodema flava coli, we technically come off label, haven't we? You know, and if there was an incident, you know, the pest controller would be leaving themselves open to criticism there. So in order to, you know, follow the label direction, you know, we need to be confident in which species we're dealing with. Sometimes that's difficult, right? You know,
absolutely,
really, really difficult. Yeah. But it comes with experience, I think.
100%. It's one of those things, you know, it's nice and easy when we deliver our training courses. We've got two pictures side by side. You can clearly see the differences. But when you're out in the field, you've just got that one thing to go off. It's not an easy thing sometimes. And we, you know, within Kiljan, we sometimes send each other pictures. Is that what I think it is? Oh, yeah, that's it. Getting that sort of information from each other is quite important as well. No, that's brilliant. So what other species can we discuss as part of this then?
Yeah, well, obviously we mentioned the Western European house mouse, which is Mus musculus domesticus, which is common across all the Northern Europe, United Kingdom, Great Britain. There have been a couple of cases of Mus musculus spretus, actually, that have appeared in the UK, which is the Algerian house mouse. Now, it's... I think very, very difficult to tell them apart and very unlikely to come across that one. But there is more than one house mouse, believe it or not. There are several subspecies of house mice up there.
Absolutely.
But another one I'll mention, because we should be aware of it, and it is abundant in the UK or Great Britain, something. And that's the harvest mouse, okay? And it's got probably one of my favorite scientific names, the harvest mouse. Because it describes it beautifully, and that's Micromus minutus, which means it's a really small mouse.
That's
and
adorable, it's, yes. It's
Britain's smallest mammal. And they're the ones that you find in, you know, the farmer's field, in those wheat fields where they make these little ball-shaped nests in the ears of the wheat. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
We're not likely to get them in and around buildings, so we don't see them too often, do we? We're more likely to find them where going for a walk in the countryside at some time of year. It's good to be aware of it.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely one of the species of mice. They contribute to the ecosystem. They're all part of it. And yeah, it's quite an interesting one. I believe there's, you run some of your training courses over in the British Wildlife Centre down in Surrey. I believe just by the entrance, they've got a little glass. It's like a terrarium almost, isn't it, with some harvest mice flying around in there. So for those of you that haven't been around, I definitely recommend it as a cool day out, and you can see some cool species out there, can you?
Yeah, it is a good day out, particularly for youngsters as well, if you've got kids.
Absolutely.
And then you can watch the harvest mice use their prehensile tail, which is where their tail acts as a fifth limb. So they can independently move their tail to help them climb and reach from one stalk to another. So they're quite funny things to watch. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's brilliant. So obviously it's not the sort of species that falls into the sort of public health pest control bracket, but it's definitely one to be aware of. This is it for part one. Make sure to tune in to part two, where we carry on our conversation with Melvin. See you then.